I'll double check. Okay, so you're in business, so just forget about, should pick you both up. I mean, I've set it recording already, but it'll go for hours or anything, so just when you're ready, make a start, and we'll just chop off any cuff at the beginning.
How do we stop it when we're finished?
Just press the stop one at
that
the bottom.
One there. Yes.
Yep. But if you have any problems, just unclip yourself, come and get these, if you give me a yell, and I can come down.
It's actually recording right at the moment.
As long as it's a glowing red light, should be recording, and you should keep seeing a little bit of movement there anytime there's any noise.
Oh,
okay.
The numbers should keep on counting up.
Yes.
So if anything changes or you're not sure, just give me a yell.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Just before we start, actual thing, we're not aiming to make it too long. I mean, it's as long as you want it to be, and we want to hear what you think is really worth recording and what you want to say. But in terms of any sort of factual details about your family, though, I will ask one or two. They can easily be filled in, as I said, on paper.
Yep.
We don't want to go through too much of that. It can easily be checked later, if that's all right. So I thought if we took the first half a little more part, just on family memories and so forth, and then we get on to your adventures and so forth, which that can go as long as you like. I mean, the people are quite keen to have all that stuff, because it's of general interest, you might say. Right, so you're quite ready to begin? Yes. This is an interview with Tony Evans, the son of Jack and Betty Evans. It is conducted by Margaret Tate on the 9th of June 2010 in the Ian Matheson Archives. It's part of a project supported by the New Zealand Historic Places Trust. We hear that your parents lived with your grandparents for a little while. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Well, no, I don't really recall much of that.
Mm-hmm.
That was with Nana Evans, I think, in George Street, was it?
Yes.
I don't recall a lot of that, no. Probably quite a bit before my time.
Before your
time,
yes. Ken, perhaps you have lots of memories of your father. Could you tell us a little bit about him?
Dad was a good father. He joined in. We played quite a bit of sport. Between us, Dad was the secretary of the Kietar, I think, rugby and football club,
mm-hmm.
I think, for quite a number of years. And we quite often got the cricket set up on the back lawn, played cricket there, and Dad used to join in with the occasional broken window in the house. But apart from that, we didn't play a lot of sport, just as kids with the kids from the Crescent. We'd go over in the middle of Savage Crescent in the park and play a bit of football and just general hooning about over there, but that was John was more into cricket. He played cricket and football,
mm-hmm.
I think seriously for Kietoa, but none of us, Wayne or Michael or myself, never really played it full time. We just, just had a muck around on the back lawn and,
Of your brothers, could we just put them in order with
John was the oldest,
yes.
And then Michael, and myself, and then Wayne.
And you were born in?
42, and I think Wayne's about 2 years younger than me. There was sort of around about 2 years difference between the lot of us.
Mm. Mm.
So it was good times.
Yes, your mother, I saw in some other notes, was originally a tailoress and was a good dressmaker, was that right?
I don't remember a lot of that either. I think she'd obviously finished work when she had us boys, and she just worked part-time after we were off her hands, I think, going to school. She worked, as I say, at the State Hydro Electricity Department in Cook Street there, making morning and afternoon teas, and that's sort of about the only jobs I remember having, I think, and I don't know when she left up there. The electricity department closed up there, I think, at some stage. I just couldn't exactly tell you that the year, but I think obviously Mum would have finished up there then, and she just became a housewife and just worked weekends with, they had the Kiatara Ladies Committee, which used to get all the afternoon teas ready after the match games at the showgrounds, you know, for all the visiting teams, and they'd have afternoon tea after the game in the Keela Hall there in the showgrounds, and Mum and the a lot of other ladies were worked there, I think, most Saturdays, and that was about the boys. Some of us used to go over and watch the game, and then we'd go over to the Keela Hall afterwards and wait round at the back door, and Mum would bring a sausage roll or something out to us, and or a sandwich, and then we'd once they'd clean up, we'd go home with them. And
your mum in the house, you were saying that she was very keen to keep it up. A great polish, you know. Used to polish
yes. The house was spotless, and as I say, with the native timber doors and the wardrobe doors and the, well, most of the doors, I think, were native timber, and Mum used to keep them fairly polished up to a fairly high sheen. And
yes.
Yeah, so, and I'm sure if you'd look today, those doors would probably still be in, and a lot of the wardrobes that in the house.
In one of the photographs, that shows the family at a meal, and there's a radio there.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything of what people listened to? And
yes, the old radio was most sort of Sunday nights, Friday, Saturday night. We were allowed out into town. We had to be home by a certain time. Dad was fairly strict on that. And Sunday nights, after a meal, we just used to sit round. I remember in the kitchen, sometimes we'd play cards, play games, not very often, but most nights we listened to the old English comedies they had on the radio.
Can you name any of them now?
I think Life with Dexter, I think, was one of them, and there was a few other. I think they had a few sort of murder mystery ones too. I just can't remember the names at present, but we'd sit around till bedtime usually and just listen to the radio, and
just sitting around the kitchen table.
Yeah, just around in the kitchen. Yes. And
yes.
We had on a cold night, we had the old chip heater next to the stove that warmed the water, and Mum could cook on it as well. And Dad usually had that fairly well stoked up, and it was nice and warm in the kitchen, and it was a fairly big kitchen dining room, and so we sat in there till sort of bedtime, and of course we were in bed reasonably early those days, ready for school next day, and it was really good.
And apart from cards, did you have like Meccano or any things to play with?
I don't think we had Meccano. We didn't have a lot of toys in those days. I can't really remember playing games, many games. I just can't remember what was out in those days, whether the likes of Snakes and Ladders or any of those were out. I guess they were. But I remember we were right into our comics in those days with Superman and Captain Marvel and what have you. And we had a cardboard box under each of our beds in the bedroom, and we used to keep our comics and bits of toys in there. And if we weren't listening to the radio, we just went to bed and read comics. And
did you keep your own collection, or did you swap them? Or
we swapped them at school and different ones, and they were quite a big thing in those days, especially the superheroes in those days.
Yeah.
But it's just a shame that we, you know, if you could have seen what they would have been worth now to keep, and but they obviously got lost and went and shifted and got married, and you know, you sort of lost all these things. So. But
did you collect anything? People collected cigarette cards and different things like
No, I don't really know what they were. Mind you, I think they had the tobacco tins and different, there used to be a few of those laying around home, but I think they used to end up in the garage in the workshop with bits and pieces in them, nuts and bolts and stuff in them, you know, so.
So the workshop, what did your father do? Is this fixing things?
Not a lot, no, it was just a sort of a bit of a workshop in the garage and, he'd pot around and I don't think he'd done a lot on the cars, but mind you, in those days there wasn't a lot to go around, to go wrong with the cars, you know, there was, you know, it'd spark plugs and your distributor and what have you and points in there and sort of if you kept those clean the car went sort of thing, you know, not like today with all these electronic gadgets and what have you. So,
so a car's always a big thing. You said you had a Model A was the first one.
Yeah.
Yes. Can you tell me anything about that or the trips you went?
No, I don't know. I can't quite recall. I think it might have been in the probably the early to middle 50s. I think Dad got it. And we used to go down for holidays down to the beach at Christmas. And Dad, well, anyway, he used to use it a lot. He used to bike to work. Mum biked up to her job. That was only up the top of Cook Street. And Dad was sort of just off Cook Street and Church Street. At Metalcraft and sheet metal production, so he used to bike sort of most times to work, and the dog used to go up with him and sleep under his table at the office, and quite often if the dog got sick of it, she just got up and wandered out and wandered home. She knew her way home, obviously, and she was there when Dad came home at nights. And
how far upfield would you go on your bike?
Well, we used to bike, we had a place up from the old Glaxo now in Botanical Road, from there up to Tremaine Ave, I think, used to be called Boundary Road, I think, along in those days. And from the Glaxo up to Boundary Road, which is near the corner of Botanical and Tremaine Ave, used to be an all metal road up there. We used to bike right up there to the Mungonia Bridge. Used to be an old wooden bridge across there, and we used to go up there and swim up there in the Mungonia and make rafts and just float down the stream as far as you could and then push it back up again. And those days the creeks and the rivers were reasonably clean, you know, not like today. You could swim in them no problem. And, Manawatu River, we used to do a lot of swimming down there at the bridge. The Turitea Stream, through Bledisloe Park, used to do a lot of eeling in there and catching eels and swimming. We had a swimming hole in there in the middle of the Bledisloe Park. Used to be quite a deep hole in there. And used to be quite a lot of families from town go out there, walk out there, bike out there or whatever. And walk into the swimming hole and spend the afternoon there swimming, and it was really good.
Yeah. Anything you did that you think children wouldn't be allowed to do now?
I think probably, it was no problem climbing trees and things, you know. I think I should be onto them these days, climbing trees. Well, the parents wouldn't let them, but in the Esplanade there used to be some fairly big trees in there, and we used to manage to climb up to the top of most of them, and even probably swimming in the river. We used to go down there on our own.
And you had some fairly wild times in the Esplanade, did you, when you got up to things?
Yes, we used to have a bit of, because we used to sort of spend most of our time down there. It was a lot more bushier than it is than now. They've cleared a lot of it down there now, but it used to be quite thick bush right down onto the edge of the river there. And we used to get up to a bit of mischief through there, swinging on vines in the thicker part, and scaring kids coming through there. There used to be a track sort of along the top of the riverbank there, which I think is still there today. Well, I think it's virtually the bridle path walkway through there now. And we'd swing out them with on the vines, you know, swing across the track on the vines and chase them around in there, and never used to get up to anything bad, you know. It was just good, clean mischief. Get chased by the gardeners occasionally, the gardeners in the esplanade.
Did you imagine you were Tarzan or something like that? Yes.
Yeah. And then we had our bike track down on the banks of the river down behind the campsite. There was used to be mica carpet trees right down along the riverbank there, and we could get down behind the campsite, and we had this bike track, oval banked corners, banked ends, and used to be quite a gang of us from town get down there on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon and have our old stripped down bikes, no mudguards, no brakes, and just hoon around this track, you know, having races, and it was really good.
So there were a lot of boys of the same age from Savage Crescent were there from the school, or when you said from town?
There was a few. My cousin Peter Evans, he lived with his nana, our nana, in George Street. He boarded with her for quite a while, and he knew a lot of kids around that area his age. And my other cousin, Peter Wykes, used to live down on Lyndhurst Street, corner of Lyndhurst and Cuba. And of course, they had different mates in their area, and they would all congregate down there, and they'd bring their mates, and everyone would bring their mates down, you know. So it was quite a wide area in town. But
How many boys should I picture? 10 or?
Oh, sometimes you could 15, 20, 25 down there, you know, just depending on the day. And
yes.
And there was nothing sort of organised. We just sort of organised between ourselves and say, oh, we'll see you down the river tomorrow afternoon or something. We'll have a few races and no crash helmets or anything in those days. No one seemed to have got hurt. So.
Now, when you told me about the railway yards, that sounded really scary. What were you doing there?
Yeah, we used to spend a lot of time up there too. So, I say my cousin, Peter Wykes, used to live on the Lyndhurst Street, called Lyndhurst and Cuba Street. And of course, they were only about a couple of minutes up the road to the railway yards, and the engine sheds used to be down on the corner of West Street there, and they had the turntable and on the corner of Church and West Street, they had the cattle yards in there where they used to, I don't know whether they used to bring stock in for the abattoirs that used to be down Maxwell's Line. There used to be an abattoirs down there, and quite often there'd be sheep or cattle in the pens there, and we'd get in the sheep pen, and some of the sheep were fairly big, you know, and you could jump on their back and ride them round till they collapsed, you know. But we used to play in the old trains parked up alongside the engine sheds there, and just make out we're engine drivers, and we had a lot of fun up there.
And the jiggers?
Oh, the old jigger, yeah. Occasionally find one of those there on the lines. There used to be a lot of lines coming in, loop lines, you know, that never used to have much traffic on them. And occasionally you'd get the jigger. You could had the lever you could push up and down and make it go, you know. And we could only go up a certain part of the line. You couldn't get out onto the main lines or anything. We just play around there on these jiggers, and occasionally get one you had to push. We just play around on there, and occasionally got told off by the old engine driver to get out of it. But no, most times it was they sort of left us alone, you wouldn't be allowed to do it today, I wouldn't think, with the trains and stuff. But we spent a lot of time up there till.
And family holidays at Waitereri.
At the Waitereri
Beach. There were a crowd of kids there too.
The Aldridge family used to come down with us. They had three boys, and there was our four boys, and occasionally there'd be one or two other groups came down with us, and we'd stay on one of the campsites down there, and used to have, anything up to 2 weeks down there. And those were the days you could take the flounder net down, and because we used to always get on the flounder net, Dad and the older guys let us get in and get wet on the deep end. They weren't too fussed on going out on the deep end of the net, but we'd go out and drag the net, and a couple of drags and you could get anything up to a sugar bag of flounders, you know, and bring them home, and they'd do us for two or three days. And but now, if you go out there now, you could spend all day out there dragging the net, and, you know, it's just fished out now. It's nothing much around at all. But yeah, we got up to a lot of fun there over in the sand dunes, and we'd wander around over in the sand dunes, and it was really good. But a lot of the places we played down there now are sort of built up down there now. So, but we still went down there after Mum and Dad used to go down there after most of us were married off, and they'd go down there and stay. We used to rent a house for a week or a couple of weeks, and the four boys and their wives sort of would go down and spend a few days with them, and yeah, so we did that right up until probably some of us were probably in our mid-20s. Some of the boys, Mum and Dad, were still going down there, so yeah. But of course, once Dad died, that sort of went by the boards, and Mum was sort of left on her own there. But she still went away up to her sisters. Two sisters lived in Rotorua. Well, they lived here originally, and moved up to Rotorua. Mum used to spend a bit of time up there with them, and we always used to call and see them if we were passing through. Yes.
So for your mother, that was quite a long time after your father died. So
yeah,
did she keep
Dad died.
Fairly good health, did she?
Yeah.
And,
Mum did. She had a what's the name of the operation? She ended up with a bag in the side, you know, claustrophobia.
Oh, yeah.
She had that later on in life, but she coped with that very well. And I say she lived in the house right up until probably the early 90s, I think, before she shifted.
Yes, that seems to be
shifted
right.
Shifted down to Paraparam, yeah.
Mm.
But I think she died in about 92, I think, was it?
Mm.
Yeah. But she generally kept pretty good health, Mum did. So, but Dad died fairly young, of course. I think he died in the 70s.
What did he die of?
Oh, a heart. He had a couple of heart attacks, and they were actually, Mum and Dad were actually going up to Rotorua to see the sisters up there, and he had a turn one of the car parks just before Waiuru, and they had to get an ambulance down to him and took him through to Rotorua, and he died in Rotorua Hospital, so, which was bad. He was only young, 62 I think he was. Yeah, so.
Well, going back to your life as a family, are there any other things that stand out as memories for you that we haven't talked about? Either for yourself as a small child, all these stories? Anything at all?
No, not, I say, apart from the holidays, and that while the boys were at home, we didn't spend a lot of time at home during weekends, and that we're always out, you know, we never had TV or anything in those days, and you just went out and made your own fun, you know, and so we'd spend a lot of time even after tea at nights in the summer. We'd either shoot round to one of our mates' places, you know, and sort of come home. Dad says you'd be home at 8:30 or whatever, and you were home, and it was sort of bed. But apart from the holidays, and I think we had two trips up to Auckland on the train. That was Mum's eldest sister lived up there before they shifted to Palmerston and then to Rotorua. But we went up and stayed with them out at Point Chev in Auckland, and that was a bit of an adventure on the old Night Express up to Auckland with Mum and Dad and four boys. And
did you get out to get sandwiches and that sort of thing?
Yeah. They used to, I think it was only about, I think they stopped at Taihape and Tamarunui in those days, and course, with the old steam trains and you'd, with the tunnels and that, you'd still sort of end up with a fairly black face. And even in those days, you know, if the windows were open and going through the tunnels with the old soot and stuff coming through. But I can't really remember a lot what we did at Auckland. I remember going to farmers. Department store used to be the big thing in those days, and the trams were running in Auckland, and we'd catch the tram into town and usually end up at farmers up on the top story. They had a big playground up there, and Mum and Dad would have morning tea or lunch or whatever, and we'd play on the, they used to have, I think, pedal cars and things in those days, and no, I can't remember a lot else in Auckland.
So, I suppose one of the last things I wanted to ask you, the publicity photographs are quite a big thing for anyone to be involved in. Did your parents talk about it? How did they feel about it? You know, did, in your memory, did they ever discuss
it? No, I can't remember a lot of that either. I think there was the only way we sort of found out a bit about it. They talked, I remember Dad, I think there was one photo, they went out to Massey College, I think, and they were, I think he had John and Michael with him, and they were, they had a sheep, they were inspecting a, must have been a vet or something with him, and they were looking at the sheep's teeth or something, but I remember Dad talking about one or two of those, but it wasn't until later on that we, the photos sort of came. I think Mum just sort of had them put away in various newspaper clippings, and it was only sort of after we were married they sort of came to light, and we found out a bit more about them. But of course Wayne and myself weren't in any of the photos, and so we didn't really, I don't know, we would have been fairly young, I think, when they were taken, but I don't recall a lot about them. But as I say, it's only well, even now, over the last few years, you know, since Mum and Dad have gone, and the photos, Michael had the photos, and we've sort of taken a bit more interest in them, you know, and it's just sort of going through, well, I've been through the old photos and bits and pieces at home, and just writing on the backs of all the photos, just so my generation, you know, my kids' generation know who's who and what's what. And there was a lot of photos that Mum and Dad had nothing on, you know, and we sort of had to, Leslie Short has got a fairly good memory about dates and places and who's who, and over the last few years we've sort of got together and put names to faces and dates, and so we're slowly getting there with those. But no, they were quite a big thing in those days, those photos, and quite a big write-up about them. And
well, we're still very very interested in them. I mean, I think people, as the times roll on for Savage Crescent, they become more and more interesting because they were taken. So well, I'm very happy with what we've talked about. Is there anything that you wanted to add?
No, I can't think of anything in at this stage, anything further, but no doubt something will come to light. I'll get home and say, oh, I should have said something about that, or we can no doubt add to this conversation.
Well, that's right.
At a later date, yeah.
And yes, I mean, we haven't by any means finished the project, so it is sometimes only after one lot of talking that you remember the things. So. I'll say at this point, thank you very much. You know, I think that the picture of your life, and particularly your teenage years, is new material for us. So thank you very much.
Okay, good.